here we are with another Natter That Matter, because obviously all conversations count, including the ones inside your head and outside with amazing business owners, which of course I'm joyously, happily, gratefully able to say I'm surrounded by. And I have one of said women with me today, the lovely Amanda McKinley. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, and it is chatting. It is chatting. I've had a few guests that said, thought it was going to be really kind of, you know, very structured. And I'm like, no, the natters, the conversations we have are the most important things, aren't they? And if we're more relaxed, we find out more information. So with that in mind, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody? You can do a much better job than I can, I'm sure.
Okay, so do the quick 60-second elevator pitch. So my name's Amanda. I'm a wellbeing and creativity coach. As you can probably hear from my accent, I'm from Scotland, from a town called Paisley, just about 10 minutes outside of Glasgow. So, and the wellbeing and creativity coach thing covers everything from meditation and mindfulness, holistic therapies, a little bit of kind of crystals and colour therapy, angel card work, the whole gamut of different things that are all initially things that helped me on my own health journey, that I then, through that, became passionate about wanting to make accessible and affordable for other people. And that led to the lovely space I'm in just now, the Butterfly Room. It will be our fifth birthday this year and our fourth birthday in the beautiful creative hub that we're part of now. So, yeah, that's kind of the...
Well done. Well done for having a business that it sounds like it's a kind of spiritual and physical and emotional.
Yeah.
It's kind of those, like the whole kind of... the whole part of us, really, I suppose. Well done for having a business in that space for that long. That's a long time. Some come and go. You've probably seen a few, I'm sure. So, yeah, so you talked a little bit about your own history, and I've got some notes, obviously, from when you applied to be here. So tell us a bit about how that all kind of evolved. What's your kind of evolution to where you are now?
So previously worked in social care. I was a care assistant in an elderly care home. Never saw myself doing anything other than that. I absolutely loved it. I kind of joked, you know, said like one day when I retired, I was going to like kind of do craft stuff and do creative stuff because I loved it as a hobby. But it was one of these, you know, one day way off in the future. And then about 2-3 years into the time in the care home, started having health problems, was eventually diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And so that was kind of, spent a bit of time not in a good headspace, was in denial, trying to find other jobs in the care sector and different, you know, because there must be something I could do because that was my passion. I was never going to find anything that was as fulfilling again, or so I thought. It didn't happen, and I went, do you know what? Maybe this is the one day. Maybe this is, you know, maybe this is why this has happened, is because of this. Lovely advisor at the job centre got me started on a programme for people, for creatives. So initially, when I went self-employed, it was arts and crafts, selling what I was making. Then little workshop bits came in. And then, as I say, with my own health, getting to the more holistic point of my own health journey and picking up the things like the mindfulness and the meditation and things, I then kind of diverted off onto the more therapeutic side of things. So that led to bit by bit kind of piecing all the little certificates and the right bits of paper together, and led to the kind of the wellbeing and creativity stuff now.
Lovely. It's not often I hear that the beginnings of a business are through an advisor at the job centre. I'm not criticising what's applied,
no.
But it sounds like it was right for you at the time.
Do you know what? It's so funny. It's like I keep saying to people, I have been so fortunate in every bit of my journey, from the fibromyalgia diagnosis right the way through. It only took me just under 2 years to get the fibromyalgia diagnosis. That's ridiculously quick. There are people that can have symptoms for the best part of like a decade and never get that diagnosis, because doctors don't have the full knowledge of it. Some doctors don't even believe it's a condition. So I was fortunate then. I was fortunate that my GP was great, you know, referred me to places that I wanted referred to, let me try medications that other people I knew with fibro had tried. So that was fortunate with that. Fortunate with the lovely disability employment advisor at the job centre who was open to kind of, you know, different things as well. So yeah, I've kind of, that's one reason I've kind of been really lucky, you know. You know, there's that thing like the universe having your back, and it does really seem to be, it's like things have happened. You know,
yeah.
I had that horrible thing of the fibro and thinking that, you know, as I say, the care work being what I loved and thinking I would never find anything that fulfilled that passion again. And this, what I'm doing now, because it's so varied, is probably actually even better.
Well, it's care work with a lot more going on,
Yeah.
isn't it? It's not just care. This is a different kind of care by the sound of things that you're doing. And yeah, sounds like you had a bit of an awakening. And I'm kind of wondering if that is now what you help other people with too, like that awakening to other parts, other things you can do in your career.
I mean, to be honest, it depends, you know, what arena I'm in, how much I mention.
Ah,
Like,
okay.
That side of things, you know, it's almost like, because, like, not everyone's into the woo-woo.
That's right, yeah. I hear you.
You know, so like sometimes if I'm having a conversation with someone, it'll be about, you know, the more sciencey side of the meditation stuff, and, you know, the more sciencey side of therapeutic art and things like that, you know. But then other times I will get out the angel cards and the crystals and, you know, that side of things. So it's, yeah. But I think,
Yeah.
so it's what I help people with, it depends, because it can, because there's so many different things,
Yeah.
you know.
Do you know, before they come to you, do you know what you're going to help them with? Have you had a conversation? How does it work? How do people find you and come towards you?
It can vary. I mean, like, the differences and different things I do. Like this, earlier on today, I was working with a group of adults with additional support needs, doing arts and crafts. Then at the weekend, I'm running a craft fair. You know, so there's like different aspects that people find their way to me through different things. I was in Fate and Fortune magazine the end of last year. I did their psychic challenge. So some people have found me through that. Some people find me through different groups and things, like your own lovely group. You know, so it's, I'm probably like shameless promotion person, and, like, you know, I will say yes to everything and put myself in places, because it's like, again, I was fortunate. I had good friends and I had access to good support. Not
I think I think you're underselling your own confidence, Amanda. Like, I think you know, it sounds like you say you're like your shameless promotion, put yourself everywhere. I run a variety of different programs for people, business owners trying to build their business. And just before Christmas, I said, be like Christmas. Christmas doesn't care how often it's there. Like, we just literally, Christmas becomes everything. And that's how we know about Christmas, right? Otherwise we wouldn't know, would we? We'd just be like, unless we were, you know, sort of religious in some way. Know about Christmas, but Christmas doesn't care where it is. It's shamelessly everywhere. It's on the radio, it's on the telly, it's in all the shops. Everybody's talking about it. That's all we can think about. And that's how you build your business. That's how you build your. So, I think you're doing a grand job by the sound of things. And a lot of people get stuck with business development just in one little thing, like they'll be marketing on social media, or they'll be sending out emails, or, you know. But it sounds like you're across the board with a variety of things. So the workshop you ran today, how did those people find you? Because I think people are always working out how to get people to know who they are. That's the biggest.
That came about through, it's actually a group that's kind of part of a council organisation. So they were initially looking for different places to hold sessions. And as I say, I'm part of this fantastic creative hub that my friend Catherine set up called What If. And when she set it up, she kind of invited me to move premises and move into here, and move in here with, and be part of kind of one of the resident businesses in here. So through people looking for places to hold sessions, it was a case of, okay, so we've got the space, but there's also people that offer these things. And it was meant to be a 4-week block of arts and crafts sessions. And that was about a year and a half ago now.
I hear you. It's like when you take a contract. I took a contract for 3 weeks once and it ended in 18 months. It's like, yeah, you kind of stay there if it's the right thing.
Yeah. So and so that was that way, as I say, where people find me, the usual Google searches or different bits and pieces of groups and things that I promote myself in. So
brilliant. And so what's your favourite thing to do? I know you said that whatever people need, but what is the thing that makes you go, oh yeah, I'm happy I'm doing that?
I don't know, it's all of it, just like today, just seeing people make something, you know, and then be happy. Like some of the, as I say, it's adults with additional support needs. So last year, some of them had pieces that I helped them work on accepted into a local exhibition. So it was like going to the exhibition and seeing the pieces there. But even just like, I love the angel card ones are quite good because when people come for an angel card reading, it's a case of I tell people you don't have to believe in the angels. I believe in them enough for both of us. And sometimes it's actually a little bit more fun if you can tell the person something that you know they've maybe just walked in or they're booked, you know, I have no prior knowledge of them. And I can tell them something that there's no possible way I could know.
Yes.
You know, so that can be quite fun. Just getting to prove to people things that these things work, you know, getting to prove to people the benefits of the angel stuff and the spiritual stuff, getting to prove to people, help people, you know, with the crystals and with the meditation side of things, just seeing the benefits that people get. So I don't have one particular, that's my favorite. Just,
Sounds like you're putting them on the path of
yeah,
curiosity,
that's what I would say. It's like kind of get
actually.
people in.
Evidence. Yeah, no, it sounds
Yeah.
like that. I think I'm a spiritualist actually, so I've been working in spiritual development circles for about 25 years on and off. And so whenever I go to a new circle, there's always the people are, I don't know what this is, but there's some crazy stuff going on. Like there must be something to it. That's typically how it starts, isn't it? Something more to it. And then you hold a crystal and you can feel it vibrate. And you're like, well, that's weird. That must have something to it. So yeah, putting people on that path is a big deal. I talked about the transformation business. Like you had that kind of, you know, that moment where it's like, oh, okay, this is the moment now, really, isn't it? That's like, even though you don't recognize that in the way that I'm a breakthrough kind of coach, so I recognize it immediately. It's a softer, more gentle kind of introduction into other ways of thinking and feeling and being, really, isn't it? Yeah, very nice. So what's the future then? What's the future? What's going to happen to the butterfly effect? Which is
Short term, as I say, February starts on Thursday, and every year I do a month-long program, month-long festival called Feel Good February. Initially, when that started, it was a well-being weekend. We did a Saturday and we did where we had the fair, and then Sunday we had two workshops, one I hosted and one Catherine, my friend, hosted. And then the pandemic happened. And it was one of those ones that had initially gone from, well, we did the Saturday and the Sunday, maybe we could do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And as I say, then the pandemic happened and I had time to think about it. And by the time everything had settled back down again, it ended up being a month-long program of all these, you know, I booked, and again with the people can always say no, I booked one of my favorite singers to come and do a gig. Last year when we held it, I booked David Hamilton to come and do a talk. So it's like I, you know, basically I will recruit anyone that I think can has something to share and that can be supportive to people. So that starts on first event for that is Friday night. And runs all the way through February and finishes at the end of February with my book launch. This book has been 6 years and they're working on it. Initially pitched it to Hay House as part of their one of their writers' workshop weekends.
Nice. Come on then. A shameless plug. What's it called? Tell us.
So it's How I Became a Butterfly.
Ah, nice. Nice
So it's
title.
and it's a two-part. So it's a two-section book. So the first
Nice.
half is all my story, you know, how I got to how I became a butterfly. And then the second part, so if people don't want to do the whole read my story, get to know me, they're just there for the tools. They can jump straight to that and get find out about meditation, mindfulness, crystals, angels, essential oils, music, crafting, all
Is
that
that one
stuff.
been written or is that one in process still?
No, that's the one that's out at the end of the month.
Ah, okay. So not your story, the other one. And what's
No,
that
the
one?
two. Yep, that's what I'm saying. In the one book, it's two things in the one book. So it's got my story, and but if they don't want to read that, they can just skip straight to
I'm
the
with you.
second section.
It's two books in one. I'm with it now.
Yeah,
I'm with
pretty
you.
much. Yeah.
Nice. How you became a butterfly. Lovely. And so is that through Hay House? Has it been published through Hay
No,
House?
as I say, I initially went to their writers' workshop and I did pitch to them. They didn't accept it. And I'm actually, I think at that time, probably if I was honest, it would have been nice, you know. And but I think it was about that looking for that badge, looking, you know, for my work to matter. It needed that, you know, it needed to be up there with Louise Hay and Kyle Gray and David Hamilton and all these people that inspired me, you know, all the books I had in my bookshelf, I need, for my work to matter, I needed that badge.
Yeah,
Whereas now it's like, no, do you know what? Hay House's royalties suck. And looking
sorry
at
to anybody from Hay House is listening to this, but yes.
In my opinion. And just looking at the kind of that, you know, I didn't need it to be about the shiny badge and being in that club, that gang. You know, I want it to stand on its own.
So you've self-published, basically.
Yeah.
But you've got much more control over it. You can do what you like.
There's that,
That's all of it. You can own everybody that buys it. You know where it's coming from. So, yeah, you self-published through Amazon, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
Good for you, absolutely. So we'll pop a link under here for anybody listening, watching, and they can then get the book. So that's out on the, did you say the 8th? Or did I make
the
that
launch,
up?
No, the launch date is set for the 27th of February, so it's not out yet. And annoyingly, with Amazon, when you're doing the self-publishing, you can't have it set for like pre-orders or anything.
Right, okay.
So at the moment, it's just a case of telling people to watch for it and keep an eye on the Butterfly Room page and stuff will be linked on then when.
I thought you could on Kindle for the
Yeah,
electronic.
but not on
For the print.
the KDP. It doesn't give you the option for that. So, but there is kind of like bits and pieces on my own page where I'm dropping different things, you know, to do with it, just building up. And as I say,
I mean, it's interesting because writing a book, I've got one, it's about 4 or 5 years old now, but writing a book is hard enough, isn't it? Because there's a lot of self-doubt. It's a real journey in itself. It really motivation. And then when it goes live, which you're about to experience, it's a whole other feeling. It's like this really weird feeling. But it's really brave. But I think people then think that the work is done, but marketing the book itself been published, just, you know, and they're doing the marketing for you. Or you, I mean, you know, people charge thousands and thousands of pounds to help you market your book. So, yeah, it's quite hard work. So give it a look. Go and buy Amanda's book is the number out at the end of February. And so that's a great future. So what are you going to do with that book, Amanda? How are you going to make that open more doors to help more people? Is that a mission?
I would love to do kind of like retreats with it. I mean, that would be a little long term, but I always said like the Butterfly Room eventually, I would love there to be like at least one butterfly house that kind of based on the things that are, you know, that I offer and based on that like a retreat centre, but again, affordable retreat, you know, so it's like if somebody maybe has something they can offer, then they could come along and have a discounted stay, you know, or it's like community funded or something like that, you know, for a longer term, just because so many of these things, like I know from, again, going back to the whole Vibro experience, so many of the therapies and things, and I am not, people need to charge what they need to charge, I'm not disputing, but so many of the people that need the wellbeing services, especially now with the cost of living crisis, the people that need it the most, you know, have the least amount of disposable income to spend on it.
So, yeah. So you're thinking about maybe it sounds like a bit like a collaborative kind of retreat. And so they donate money, but they also donate services and skills.
Yeah. You know, so maybe like if someone says, like, you know, I can, you know, I'll do the cooking or I'll do, you know, or I can do a workshop in this or whatever. So it's like you can kind of.
Like a community, a real community thing.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. I think there's a lot of, I'm actually just typing one of my clients, create a CIC, a not-for-profit CIC, match-funded, and it sounds like you could be doing a similar thing, like match-funded, so they get funded charities and all different organisations, and then the person that needs the services, they only pay a certain amount, and then the charity funds the rest of it. Your business isn't a CIC or a not-for-profit?
No, self-funded. So I believe it's kind of like class it's like a social enterprise, socially responsible business, but so keen to not go down the funding route because, again, if you become dependent on the funding, when the funding goes away, you then can't do the free sessions or the, you know, so, I mean, I mentioned the Feel Good February stuff. The most expensive workshop that I have happening next month is £30.
Yeah.
There's a couple of sessions that are just donation-based. There's a couple of things that are like £5. You know, actually, my meditation class that I run every month is £5, and on a matter of principle will always be £5 because of a lady that I went to see. It was business gateway advisor, and when she crunched the numbers, she was convinced, you know, it wouldn't work, and she went to a yoga class and it was £12, and they don't get tea and biscuits at the end of it. And I'm like, that's fine, thanks for your advice, you know, I'll take that on board. And then just didn't. And if I'd listened to her, I would have gone, scrapped what I was doing and signed on and gone and got a proper job. But I went, no, I'm going to. And the meditation classes were like the first, they were the foundation of the butterfly room. That was like why I started then wanting to have my own space and stuff like that.
That business advisor didn't have that spiritual kind of connection and that guidance going on. I mean, I'm not saying none of them do, but it sounds like she didn't. She was just kind of, like you say, it was all about the numbers and, you know, what.
And I totally get that. You know, and obviously, you know, you need to eat, you need to pay the bills and stuff like that. But it was just like that. Sometimes, especially with the wellbeing related stuff, there's a bigger picture. It's about more than, yes, the numbers are part of it, but it's about so much more than the numbers and so much more than just that practical financial side of it.
Well, and of course, and you know, if you can scale it as well. And I'm assuming if you're, I don't know if you do your meditation, is it in person? It sounds like it's in person if there's tea and biscuits.
Yeah, I do in person once a month, and on my Facebook page, I do every Wednesday night. I go live. This actually started during the pandemic. I go do a Facebook live every Wednesday night. Before the pandemic, I would not have volunteered and signed up for something like speaking to you. As Facebook lives were like 2 minutes of whatever event I was at, what was happening, and get off as quickly as possible. I hated being on camera because, and I think I touched on it in kind of the little notes and stuff we exchanged to start with, I said about like authenticity over perfection, you know, because I would see people on camera and you'd see people presenting stuff and go, they look so, you know, so slick, so got it all together. And, you know, yeah, then you're not seeing the 28 takes it took them to record it before you see it. And it was actually, I mentioned Kyle Gray, and it was something he put up around about that time. And he said, you know, this video, he said, it took me 28 takes to get this right. And something clicked for me and thought, so he doesn't get it perfect first time either, you know.
I might dispel this myth because I'm a one take girl, mainly because I haven't got time. But also, when I first started my business, which was a long time ago, I didn't know how to video edit and I couldn't afford a video editor. So to do one take of it, because you can't, you know, cut bits out and put bits in. It wasn't like it is today. There's lots of apps and things now, but I had to do it in one take, so it was one take. And if there was an oven and a that was staying in there. And actually, I kind of built my business on the fact that I was authentic within that. There wasn't perfect green screen, there was no subtitles or anything going on. It was just me in front of a and we want authenticity, don't we, Amanda? That is what we crave. Connection, authenticity, real, and especially with AI. Like AI changes things. Like we really want to believe what we can see in front of us. We want that authenticity.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, you don't need your 28 takes. Do your first take, and people forgive you if you've got your camera up the wrong way or somebody barks in behind you. It's all okay this day and age.
Yeah.
I think that cemented that for us. We had, you know, real celebrities in their lounge with their kids tagging on there.
Absolutely.
So it's all good. Yeah. It's all very exciting. You sounds amazing. So what's going to happen after the? So I've got to ask this question because I'm kind of feeling it. So are there some cards of your own that go with this butterfly book?
No, not yet.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you? Like, I'm a big card book. They kind of go together because some people have guidance each day. They don't want to have to read the book all the time. I've helped lots of people create that, so I can feel that.
I've kind of been building up my own kind of artwork and drawing and confidence, things like that. So that may come at some point in the line. There are going to be some like prints and different bits and pieces based on like pictures and stuff that I've done that'll go along with the book. But so the cards may come at some point in the future.
Yeah, they will. They're going to happen. Yeah. How you became a butterfly. How about how you can become a butterfly? Butterfly would be your cards that go with it. I can feel that for you. Just saying. Don't know who I've got with me, but one of your people. So yes, that would definitely happen. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you. I'm very excited to watch it all. Obviously, if we can help you to promote your book in whatever way we can, obviously shout. And if anybody's watching, listening to this, and they want to help Amanda to do that, want to invite her on anything else, please feel free to reach out, because she likes to be there. She is unashamedly promoting herself and social. I'm very pleased. pleased to hear it. It makes a change when I have people who come and say they're scared of doing that, like it's a real fear-based thing. Whereas when you're on a mission, the mission becomes clear, doesn't it?
Well, it's
Like,
like somebody had said, the thing is, if you hold yourself back, you're actually doing a disservice to the people you're trying to help, because you know, if you're holding back, who, you know, there's somebody out there that really needs to hear your message, like me with the fibromyalgia stuff. There could be one person out there that doesn't have the friends, doesn't have the connections, but needs that bit of hope. So if I don't share things, that person's continuing to struggle because, you know, of my fear.
yeah, so you're giving people hope, basically, Amanda. That's what you do. That's your job from now on, is what you're giving people hope, spreading the word to give people hope. It's been lovely, and I'm glad to help you spread the word too.
No,
It's
and it's
been
been
lovely
great. And being in the
to know.
group and kind of connecting with yourself has been really helpful as well, just to kind of have points to think about things and just ponder and kind of plant
Yeah.
more seeds.
Good stuff. I like to plant seeds, and I look forward to watching them grow into mighty oaks. Thank you so much for today,
No, it's been
Amanda.
great. Thank you.